Good morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today's message is going to center around prayer. And the thought that might be going through your mind is I've heard umpteen million messages on prayer. Well, today I'm going to offer you a little bit of a different perspective on prayer, and maybe it'll be a help to you. God willing, it'll be a help to you. Now, I've got several passages of scripture for us to refer to, but the thought for today is we need to be able to pray, and we need to learn to pray like we're out behind the barn. And you might say, well, Joel, what in the world are you talking about, out behind the barn? Well, as I was growing up, I would hear my pastor and I would hear visiting preachers refer to going out behind the barn to pray. And for some reason, and I'm beginning to understand why that phrase stuck with me, because what they were really referring to, going out behind the barn to pray, they were getting themselves away from all distractions. They were getting themselves away from the cares of this world, and they were seeking God with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, and their main and only focus was to commune with their Savior. That's what going out behind the barn to pray means. Now, you might say, well, Joel, I don't have a barn. Well, I don't have one either. My dad had one, my grandfather had one, but I don't. And going out behind the barn is just a metaphor. What that means is we need to have that place in our life. Jesus taught the disciples, he said, when you pray, you go into your closet and shut the door and pray in private. That's what it means. It means that we are to have this place in our life, regardless of where it is, where we can free ourselves of all distractions of this world. It can be quiet, and it's just us to seek God with all our heart and all our soul. And our only focus and goal is to commune with our Savior. That's what going out behind the barn means to pray. Now, we have to ask ourselves, where are we at in our prayer life? And you might think, well, my prayer life's okay. Well, you know, there's been times in my life I thought mine was too. But as we go through these passages of scripture, maybe, just maybe, something can be said that can be a help to one of you wonderful people out there, that will help you grow closer to the Lord, that will strengthen your walk and give you more victory in your life. Now, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he said, pray without ceasing. Now, you might think, like I've thought before, well, I can't go continually praying, you know, because I got things to do. I got a job to do. I got this to do. I got responsibilities at home. I got to do this. I got to do that. Well, we can constantly have a prayer on our heart. It's not that we're necessarily out behind the barn praying in our private place or whatever, that we constantly have a prayer in our heart. And then if you think in warfare, what's one of the first things the enemy tries to do in warfare? It is to break the lines of communication. That's one of the very first things they can do, is to break the lines of communication and break the supply lines. That's one of the first things the enemy tries to do. And that's what Satan tries to do in mine and your life, is to break that line of communication with our Lord. And if we have ceased in our prayer life, we have broken those lines of communication. And Satan has been successful in getting between myself, yourself, and God, because we're not praying without ceasing. Now, if we think about praying without ceasing, that's yes. It is to have a prayer on our heart at all times. It always means that on a daily basis, we have that place we go to, our private place where we shut the door, where we get away from this world, all the distractions, and we seek God with all our heart and all our mind. That is praying without ceasing. For friends, we cannot let Satan break the lines of communication between ourselves and our Savior, or else we will be spiritually defeated. So really, when you get down to it, pray without ceasing really boils down to don't break the line of communication between you and the Lord. Now, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter, James, and John went with him, Jesus told those three, as Jesus went away to pray, he told those three, he says, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Now, that right there in itself is a mouthful. Now, the situation that Peter, James, and John was in, they didn't realize the gravity of it. They did not understand the gravity of it. They did not understand that in just a little short time, here was going to come Judas Iscariot, going to betray Jesus, and the Roman soldiers was going to come, they were going to capture him, and they were going to lead him into a mock trial. For Peter, James, and John did not understand the gravity of that. Now, you and I do not fully understand. We do not fully grasp the gravity of, maybe some do more than others, but do we truly understand the gravity of the spiritual warfare that we fight each and every day? And so often, Satan is whispering in the back of our mind, telling us, oh, you can handle this. It's okay. This isn't bigger than you. But in reality, it is bigger than us. And it's not okay. For see, sometimes we dismiss things that we can handle and we dismiss prayer. But Jesus said, pray that you enter not into temptation. For see, we really need to stop and take a step back and understand the gravity of the spiritual warfare that you and I are in. And we cannot break those lines of communication. And we need to pray that we don't enter into temptation so we won't sin against our God. Now, when one of the disciples saw John the Baptist teaching his disciples to pray, one of those disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples. And Jesus says here in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 2, and it says, when ye pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. We pray to a living God. We don't pray to a martyred God. We pray to a living God. And it says, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There is no greater name. There is no other name under heaven whereby ye must be saved. There is no greater name. It says, thy kingdom come. We are to pray for the Lord's kingdom to come. We are to desire his kingdom. We are to seek his kingdom. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. So we need to take a step back and think, wait a minute, I need to be about the Lord's will down here as it would be in heaven. And then he says, give us day by day our daily bread. In other words, not our wants, but our necessities. We look to God for the basic needs of our life. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted or sinned against us. Now, friends, that's something that we all struggle with, but we cannot accept the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins if we are unwilling to forgive other people who have sinned against us. We need to learn to get our emotions out of the way. We need to get our opinions out of the way. We need to get everything, all these things, the circumstances of life, we need to get all that out of the way and learn to forgive. And then he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So that's the structure. Do we necessarily have to say these words that Jesus taught the disciples? Not necessarily, but that is the structure in which we are to pray. Now, James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, this is getting down to the brass tacks of things. This is what I'm referring to about going out behind the barn to pray. How effective do we pray? How effective fervently do we pray. Do we pray? If you study the book of Acts, Paul is constantly referring to tears. I prayed in tears. I suffered in tears. Do we get ourselves to the point in our prayer life where we are shedding tears? If we're not, I venture to ask, how fervently and how effectively are we praying? And see, when we get to that point where we have a heart burden for lost souls and a heart burden for family members and church members that have maybe strayed on their way, and we get to the point where we're praying in tears, we have matured to the point where we are effectively and fervently praying, and we love them so much that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And when we've got ourselves to that point where we will pray in tears and commune with God and just struggle with God to a point, not for a 5-minute prayer, maybe not for a 10-minute prayer. It's not necessarily how long you pray, but it's how effective and fervent that we pray. But do we really struggle with God and come to the point where we're praying in tears and struggling with him for lost souls and strayed church members and things like that and strayed family members? Do we really pray that way? Friends, we need to take a step back and ask ourselves, how fervently and effectively do we pray? A lot of times, we only pray when we're in trouble. There's trouble in our life, whatever it might be, family trouble, financial trouble, whatever. And sometimes we only pray when we have a sickness with ourselves or someone associated with us. See, sometimes we treat God like he's a spare tire, like he's a life raft. But friends, as I started out referencing the 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we cannot break the lines of communication with our Lord. That's exactly what Satan wants us to do. But see, if we learn to pray effectively, pray fervently, the cares of this world will decrease. Sometimes we let the cares of this world drive us absolutely crazy. Yes, we all have cares. We all have concerns. But we need to put the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost on our priority list. Seek him with all our heart, all our mind, all our might, and let everything else fall behind that. So we really do need to take a step back and take an inventory about our life and ask ourselves, where are we truly at with our prayer life? Now, like I said, I was bringing a different perspective on this because I brought up a saying that I constantly heard from preachers as I was growing up about going out behind the barn to pray. In other words, getting away from this world, all distractions, everything, and seeking him with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might, so that you may commune with the creator of this universe and the one that saved your soul, for that is the number one priority in our life. So as I look at the clock, friends, I've run out of time, but I hope something in this message has been said that will deepen our prayer life, that will mature our prayer life and grow us more and more closer to our Lord. This is Joel Martin. I'll be back with you next week.